This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. This is a segment of the program that listeners did not hear live on Thursday morning because of fundraising underway at WEKU. But this topic is so important. We really want to get a chance to meet someone whose life has been personally affected by heroin and learn his story. With us now is Alex Elswick, an ex-addict, and that's all I know about you so far, Alex. Tell me more about Alex.
Well, I'm just privileged to be here. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
We're grateful.
And I guess my story in 30 seconds or less is I come from very privileged circumstances, and I think that's important as I go to share my story, because when I got into a drug addiction, I had every available resource to get clean and to get treatment, and still I found it very difficult to navigate that process. And I just want to take every opportunity to raise awareness to the issue and to give people a chance to get their lives back.
You're from the Lexington area?
I am, born and raised.
Where'd you go to school?
Went to Henry Clay High School and then Center College.
Talk about how heroin came into your life.
I think Josh's article is, first of all, I just encourage everybody to go read it. It's a phenomenal article. It's I told Josh earlier today, the tone is very on point. I think it's just, he's really taken the temperature of the issue and he understands it well. So he outlined the issue well. For me, it did begin with marijuana. I think all my life I felt a void. I felt abnormal, sort of. And the first time that I used drugs and alcohol, I felt normal. It restored some sense of normalcy, some semblance of what I thought I should feel like. And it just progressed. It's such a gradual process. Before I knew it, I was experimenting with other drugs. I had elective surgery, had wisdom teeth taken out, and was prescribed oxycodone, and that was really where my addiction began. I was taking it as prescribed, and it just grabbed a hold of me.
Is that the same drug that talk show host Rush Limbaugh got hooked on because of back trouble or something? So, I mean, marijuana certainly played a role, but, I mean, which was more significant for you, marijuana or the oxycodone that came through medical purposes?
Certainly, I'd say oxycodone. See, oxycodone is a remarkable drug, but it was developed not for mild or moderate pain, for cancer patients who are trying to get through chemotherapy for extreme pain. And so we're not talking about abusing some small pain medication like a 5 milligram oxycodone. Oxycodone is so strong, and it definitely was the gateway for me, because I had no idea that there were any potential consequences. My doctor prescribed it to me. I have put faith in my doctor that he gives me something that's healthy for me. And 2 years later, I'm a full-blown drug addict.
So tell us, I know I'm sure it's not real easy to tell this story, because we're talking about a part of your life that is behind you, one, and two, I'm sure must have been painful, at least getting out of it. How did that happen? How do you get to heroin? Where does it come from? And all of a sudden, you didn't just take oxycodone and the next week you're a heroin addict.
No, that's right. First, I should mention I'm a little over a year clean today, which is a miracle.
Wow, congratulations.
By the grace of God and power of treatment and recovery programs. So hope is possible. You can change. There's light in the darkest places. I want to say that. But for me, what happened was I slowly became addicted to Oxycontin. I was buying it on the street, but I was still in school and I was making decent grades. I went into my senior year and...
In college,
yeah.
Did you say Center College?
Center College, and I'm going for, I was going for a double major. I was making good grades. I still see, the denial is so strong with this disease. It's just concomitant with the disease, and I had no idea, I had no concept of how deep I was in. And so then after a few treatments for oxycodone, and I would get out and relapse, and I struggled, someone introduced me to heroin as a cheaper and more available alternative, frankly.
Schoolmate, a bum on the street? I mean, how does that happen?
It was a suburban kid. It was a suburban kid who's an intelligent kid. And that's, I think, very much, as Josh said, in many ways, the face of the heroin problem in Kentucky. Certainly, it doesn't discriminate. That's a great point. It can happen to anybody. But I think predominantly, it's young, white, suburban males.
We're going to come back to Alex Elswick in just a moment and talk about how he has overcome his heroin addiction, at least for a year. We're celebrating that now. Josh Nadzem, in terms of writing this piece, where did you come into contact? How did you meet up with Alex?
Well, for me, I had known Sharon Tankersley from different community work, and she's involved in Drug Free Lex and the Heroin Task Force. So I approached her about this article and saying that I was really interested in it and could you help me? So she gave me her perspective from a professional standpoint and then said, you should really meet Shelly, who's Alex's mom. And then I met with her and she gave her perspective, you know, of having a son so affected by this. And she said that Alex would be open to me approaching him and writing about it. And that was something I was really hoping to do, is that we can talk about numbers all day, we can talk about theories and science and everything, but until you hear personally from somebody who's been affected, I don't think you can really understand it. And so that was something I do. And Alex was really open and flexible and cool with me doing videos and everything. So that's how we linked up.
How many people similar to Alex did you speak with?
A lot. So like I said, one person would lead me to another person and so on. And next thing I know, I was sitting at the Hope Center in Lexington, who does all sorts of fantastic work for drug treatment. And I was sitting in a circle of 79 men who were fighting to overcome addiction. A lot was alcoholism, but a significant amount was also heroin. 79 men.
And those men, age range, race-wise, status in society?
For me, one of the scariest things about it was just seeing how broad it was. I mean, I saw people that were my age. I'm 25, and I'm looking across at them and just wondering, how did this happen? How did our lives go such different paths? And then all the way to, I saw somebody who was at least in their 70s. And well, I mean, the tough part too is that you could see somebody who's 40 and from drug abuse and on the streets, they could look 60 or 70. But it was just unreal to be sitting there and realize just these are the people behind the statistics. I'm sitting there literally with 79 people, and that's just one of their classes. And they were very open and receptive to me sitting in on it. And I was very thankful for the Hope Center.
Any impression that did you get in your reporting about the success rate of treatment options and how when people go to seek help, how likely are they to recover?
As far as statistics, I didn't have any strong statistics in that regards, but you know, some of the things I learned was that there's going to be failures. Some of the people like Alex and others who have overcome it triumphantly didn't do it on their first time. They've been through various treatment programs. And so I think that was one thing that was consistent in messages is from families and friends, is to realize that it's going to be tough and that you might not succeed your first time, but don't give up. And especially for the families, don't give up on these people, because they may fail the first three times, but the fourth time that they may rise above it.
Alex Elswick, okay, oxycodone, medicinal prescribed medicine that you began taking. You gradually migrated into using heroin. What caused you to end up getting help?
Heroin, I immediately started using intravenously, and it's just
needles.
Needles. And it's a very different addiction. It becomes even darker. If I couldn't have imagined it, but it became even
darker. No hesitation putting a needle into your own arm.
None whatsoever. As Josh alluded to earlier in the segment, it's a pathology of the brain, and it affects the reward pathway such that, basically anything that can get me back to normal, back to, okay, that it will take away the withdrawals is good. My heroin addiction took me, the last day that I shot heroin, I was under a bridge in Dayton, Ohio. And the reason that it's important that I share that detail is because the jump from where I was a year ago under a bridge shooting heroin in Dayton with a few homeless people to where I am today, it just shows that if you don't give up on somebody, if you give them another chance and another chance and another chance, maybe they'll show you something. Because it's like Josh said, relapse, the last statistics that I've seen, and we always have to be wary of statistics, but 86% relapse rate for heroin addicts. Those are formidable odds.
What got you to treatment? What did you get arrested? Was there a low point, I guess, similar to alcoholism? You get to a point where you have no other option but to go up?
You know, to be perfectly candid, I stole from the girl that I was living with at the time. I stole something of sentimental value, and she kicked me out, and it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because everybody did what what some people refer to as detaching with love. They could no longer support my addiction. They would no longer enable me. And it left me under a bridge in Dayton. And it left me at a place where I said, something's got to change. And I'm finally willing to go through something very difficult in order to change. And I checked myself into a Salvation Army treatment center in Dayton, Ohio. That's free. And it changed my life.
What happened? What was done in treatment that got you off of heroin?
So the most important thing is really simple and obvious, and it's the fact that you're locked away from the street. But the crucial difference, I mean, the reason why you can't just lock somebody in prison is because they have a pathology of the brain that has so many different behavioral cognitive elements that need to be addressed and treated. That's not going to happen in prison. In treatment, it's peer-based, like Van alluded to, but also the counseling addresses so many of the underlying issues, psychological issues, dual diagnosis like anxiety and depression. And it gave me an opportunity to learn how to live without using drugs as a crutch.
In just 1 minute's time, what do you think needs to be done in Lexington or across the Commonwealth to eliminate or at least reduce the problem with heroin addiction? And these 44 deaths happened in 2013.
I think a lot of what Van mentioned is very important about Senate Bill 5. I hope we see that again, because the needle exchange program, the naloxone program, so many of these things are so important. But more than anything, for my part, what I want people to understand is that the perception that society has needs to change. These are not bad people trying to get good. These are sick people trying to get well.
What are you doing personally besides participating in a story like this written by Josh to spread the gospel, as it were, of getting off of heroin?
I spend a lot of time going around to different treatment centers and sharing my story, sharing my testimony. The 12-step program that I work, we call it Sharing Experience, Strength, and Hope. And that's what I want to do. I just want people to know that no matter how far down the scale you've gone, you can recover.
Alex Ellswick, thank you so much for being so open and telling your story and allowing our listeners to hear it. And again, congratulations on what you have accomplished and your the great future ahead of you.
Thank you so much.